When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Progressive Britain podcast. This is the podcast with the unpopular opinion that it is coming home. This is the review show for episode 38 with guest Karen Smith on the 70th anniversary of the NHS. I'm Progress Deputy Editor Connor Pope and I'm here with Digital Editor Sam Bright. Sam, you've been away for a couple of weeks. I'm always interested to hear what news stories kind of break out of the bubble a bit. What stories were you aware of over the past couple of weeks while you've been away?
Well, firstly, that it's coming home, obviously, which I think is a popular opinion, not an unpopular one. It's popular now.
Worldwide.
It is coming home. But other than that, I think the one big thing that I tried to get my head around and that I saw when I was away was this story from the United States of Donald Trump separating children, migrant children, from their families. And it coincided actually with me reading a book about the White House Chiefs of Staff. And one thing that was said in the book was that the Chiefs of Staff have got to tell the truth to power, to the president, and tell him when he's doing something that he shouldn't be. And I think it's quite clear that people inside the administration aren't doing that when Donald Trump is concerned, really.
No, I'd not fancy that job in his administration, I don't think.
No, the thing is as well, he has this remarkable tendency to mess something up and then to roll back and U-turn and claim credit for all of it. So he claims credit for doing it in the first place and then claims credit for rolling back again. And, you know, it's farcical. It's, yeah.
And what did you make of the People's Vote March? Because that also happened while you were away.
Yeah, no, it looked really exciting. Obviously, a tremendous
Did it get international coverage?
Not really that I saw. I was just sort of flicking through Twitter, as you do when you're away. You know, you try and get away from the chaos and then all you do is sit by the pool and flick through Twitter. But I think the one thing that I kind of thought looking at it from afar and not being in the midst of the march was that we kind of need to use this as impetus to persuade the other side. We shouldn't get caught up with the mistakes of protest politics and look inwards rather than look outwards. I think, you know, obviously the 100,000 people that were there, they should feel galvanized and they should try and take those messages to, you know, people who are wavering about Brexit rather than those who are firmly still on the side of the people's vote.
What actually I think was quite good and healthy about it was the way that it incorporated so many different groups and organizations, and that it involved a lot of consensus building through that in itself. I remember going on James O'Brien's LBC show a month or two ago, and he essentially was complaining that there seems to be lots of groups that are pro-European and anti-Brexit, and they all have their tiny little bit that they concentrate on. And that isn't this a problem? Shouldn't there just be one group? And actually, I think I disagree, because Brexit is so big and affects things in so many different ways that actually it is quite good to have organisations that do just concentrate on one element of it, and they can come together under umbrella demands like that for a people's vote. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there has to be one anti-Brexit or pro-European organisation in the UK. In the end, over 100,000 people took to the streets to demand a say on the final Brexit deal last week, a deal which Theresa May's former chief of staff, Nick Timothy, now says will be a disaster. He blames the cabinet. Boris Johnson blames the Treasury. Dominic Cummings blames Whitehall. Daniel Hannan blames Parliament. Nigel Farage says the UK will be worse off after Brexit and blames Theresa May. David Davis blames something new every week. Given how badly all of these prominent Brexiters say Brexit is going, maybe it is fair that people have a bit more say in the process and the end result.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that there's a really good piece from Peter Mandelson in The Times yesterday, which said that if there wasn't this chaos, then there wouldn't be such a strength of feeling behind people's vote. You know, they're causing people to say, no, this is something that we need to think again, because the process is not going seamlessly, far from it, and it's right that people should challenge that.
And there'll be a rally in London again tomorrow on Saturday, this time for the NHS's 70th anniversary. There's a lot of marches at the moment, really, aren't there? Because obviously there's Pride coming up, it's Pride season, and next month there'll also be an anti-Trump demo when he comes to visit. Which, do you think it's, you know, a lot of this is around political dissatisfaction, or is it just the nice weather?
Definitely the nice weather. I think that lots of people will plan to turn up and then realise that the World Cup's on, and maybe, you know.
Well, so on the NHS, we have a whole section of the upcoming Progress magazine on the NHS anniversary. Obviously, we had the podcast earlier this week as well. But this section in the magazine is going to have a special editorial, articles from Linda Thomas and Paul Corrigan, as well as an interview with Shadow Health Secretary John Ashworth. They'll all be featuring on the Progress website on the date of the anniversary, Thursday, July 5th, as a special takeover for the day. It seems like the anniversary is actually getting quite a lot of attention, isn't it? Which is quite funny.
Yeah, it is. And the government sort of stoked this with their $30 billion birthday present for the NHS, which obviously was mentioned on the podcast this week. And from listening back, which is a fantastic podcast, the one thing that struck me was the irony of this Brexit dividend being a windfall, i.e. Something that would be funded through the increased tax revenues from growth that would be caused by these free trade deals. It seems that this is totally counter to the Conservatives' approach in 2010 to austerity, when Labour were arguing that we should invest in the economy to generate tax revenue, which would then, you know, we would be able to invest in public services. It seems that the Conservatives are now kind of taking on that approach, which they so wholeheartedly rejected in favour of austerity in 2010.
On this, the idea that we're celebrating a birthday for an organisation or an institution is obviously quite peculiar, but there is something very specific about the NHS. I saw Johnny Vegas, the comedian, on The Last Leg, the Channel 4 show, the other day, and he said that, talking about his parents, he said, the NHS has given us years of valuable life together. If we don't fight for the NHS, we lose ourselves as a country. I think it's so interesting that it has become an institution, it's part of our British identity now, which is a fascinating thing. I was just kind of wondering, why do you think that is?
I think it's the people that work in the NHS. It's not so much those three letters, although they come to represent the people. I mean, every time that I go into a hospital, generally through football injuries, I'm just struck by the dedication and just they seem like saints, quite a lot of the staff. my grandma recently died due to Alzheimer's, and the people working in her care home, they were angels. They were just absolutely phenomenal. And I think it's about the people of the NHS, really.
Also, it seems that it is the one thing that, you know, and the fact that all hospitals are, you know, have the name NHS on it. And when you go to the doctors, it says NHS on the door. But everyone, even if you happen to be the kind of person who uses private healthcare instead of the NHS, and basically I don't really know anyone who does, but I'm sure that even if you are one of those people, you know other people, you have friends who do use the NHS. It is the one thing that literally everyone has been affected by at some point in their life, whether it's being born or a relative being ill or being ill yourself. It's that one thing that everyone has an NHS experience. And I think it is a real testament to it that I think it's what you say, it's overwhelmingly those are good experiences. And obviously there will be bad experiences, but they just do not add up to anywhere near the same. And I think that is just a remarkable testament to it.
I think as well, British people like to grumble about their illnesses. So everybody knows your NHS story.
Yeah. For the political pub quiz question this week, I asked who the first ever NHS patient was back on July 5th, 1948. The answer is Sylvia Diggory, maiden name Beckingham. First answer, correct answer was Kellen Hadfield. Congratulations to you. Do send us your address and we'll pop a mug in the post for you. We'll be back on Tuesday with an episode about Pride, so don't miss that. Remember to send in any comments and questions that you have. Do leave a review, rate and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Progressive Britain podcast. The music is When in the West by Blue Dot Sessions, licensed under Creative Commons. And this episode was produced by Carolyn Crampton.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.